Welcome back to Never Found, Never Forgotten. I'm your host, Melanie. This week, I'm going to share with you the bizarre disappearance of the Martin family. A whole family disappeared in 1958 and left behind so many questions. On December 7th, 1958, Ken and Barbara Martin and their three daughters, Barbie, age 14, Virginia, age 13, and Susan, age 11, loaded up in the family's 1954 Ford station wagon to head into the Columbia Gorge to collect greenery for Christmas decorations and wreaths. I don't know why I have such a hard time saying 1954 Ford station wagon. It's a tongue twister. Their oldest son, Donald, who is 28, was in the U.S. Navy, and he was stationed in New York at the time. The family left in the late morning, early afternoon hours of Sunday, and by all accounts, this was supposed to be a quick trip. They'd be back before dark, primarily because Ken did not like to drive after dark. On Monday, December 8th, Ken's boss, Taylor Eccles, noticed that Ken didn't show up at work. This was not usual, and Taylor was immediately concerned. He couldn't get in touch with Ken, and he learned that the girls had been marked absent at school. This was back in 1958, when you can just call up someone's school and be like, hey, is so-and-so's kid there? And they'll tell you. You can't do that now. Back in 1958, you could. So, Taylor called the police to report the family missing. Police began their search at the Martin home around 11 p.m. on Monday night, and they found nothing suspicious in the home. Everything looked just like the family stepped out and were intending to be right back. They found a load of laundry in the washing machine, dishes drying in a rack, but nothing seemed out of place. There was just no sign of the Martins at all. The same day the Martins disappeared, an abandoned white Chevy with Los Angeles registration was found in Cascade Locks, about 40 miles from the Martins' home. When police investigated this abandoned car, two ex-convicts, Roy Light and another unnamed man, were arrested for the theft of the vehicle. But discovered in the bushes nearby the car, police found a gun covered in blood. It was a 38 Colt Commander handgun. How is this connected to the Martin disappearance, you're asking? Well, the gun was reported stolen 2 years before from a department store. The department store where the Martin's oldest child and only son, Donald, was accused of theft. He had been working at the department store and was fired for stealing what totaled about $2,000 in items, including this 38 Colt Commander handgun. And unfortunately, the gun was never processed for evidence, so we don't know whose blood was on the gun, and I couldn't find where the gun was located now, if it's still in evidence somewhere or lost. And there was no DNA testing back in 1958, so I don't know what happened to the gun, is what I'm saying. So police try to build a timeline of the family's last movements that day. And from witness accounts, they know that the family bought gas at a gas station in Cascade Locks at about 4 p.m. and continued driving east. They stopped at a restaurant in Hood River, Oregon, on their way back toward Portland. And I couldn't find the exact time on this, but they're heading back towards Portland, Oregon, where they live. And I know, people out there are cringing at how I say Oregon. My coworker does, but Listen, I grew up in New York State. That's how we say Oregon. Sorry, Oregon. That's how it's pronounced, I guess. How I'm told, Oregon. I'm going to continue to say Oregon. I'm sorry. Oregoners, Oregonians, whatever you're called. I'm sorry. A waitress at the restaurant, the Paradise Snack Bar, remembers seeing the two ex-convicts also that day and remembers them leaving shortly after the Martin family left, like they were following them. Several motorists also saw the family around dusk on the north bank of the Columbia River. Ken had two cameras with him. On December 28th, the area in Cascade Locks where the Chevy and the gun were found was searched again. This time, police find a woman's glove, and relatives thought that this could have belonged to Barbara. But this evidence really went nowhere. Because how do you prove that a glove belonged to someone, like one particular person, I don't know, without DNA testing? In February of 1959, a volunteer searcher discovered tire tracks leading off a cliff near the Dalles. Now, I'm sorry, Oregon, I'm sorry. I'm going to have all the whole state of Oregon coming for me, how I say your name. And I was saying this wrong. I was sort of saying it like the airport out in Washington, D.C. It's spelled the Dalles, D-A-L-L-E-S. I was saying Dallas, like Dulles International Airport. I was saying the Dalles. It's the Dalles. And I thought the Dalles was like a specific spot, the Dale. It's a town. Anyhow, it's a town name, the Dalles. I'm sorry, Oregon. I'm so sorry. The Dalles is actually a town name in Oregon. We've established that. It's actually the largest city in Wasco County and has a population of over 13,000. I thought it was like a landmark on the river. Investigators found paint chips that matched the Martin's cream and red Ford station wagon. And the FBI tested those paint chips and they confirmed that they were a match for paint used on Ford models similar to those belonging to the Martins. So investigators theorized that the Martins accidentally veered off the cliff. An area of the Columbia River near the Bonneville Dam was searched, but it turned up nothing. In May 1959, a drilling rig near the Dalles hooked onto, quote, something of substantial weight, end quote. They tried to pull it up, but it dislodged and they were unable to locate it again. The following day, a fisherman and his wife saw two bodies floating downstream toward Cascade Locks. The next day, one of the bodies was recovered 70 miles west of the Dalles on the north bank of the Columbia River. Dental records confirmed it was the body of Susan Martin, the youngest of the Martin children. The day after, the body of Virginia surfaced near the Bonneville Dam. Autopsies were conducted on the bodies. One source said that the cause of death was drowning. Another source said that a cause of death could not be determined due to decomposition. However, the autopsy did note a hole in Virginia's skull. Police concluded that the drilling rig must have hooked onto the Martin's submerged car. And when it hooked on, it broke off a door, freeing the bodies of Susan and Virginia and allowing them to float to the surface. The river was searched again, but neither the car nor the bodies of Barbara, Barbie, or Ken were found. Walter Graven, the lead investigator, suspected the Martins met with foul play. He also strongly suspected the Martin's son, Donald. Despite Donald being in New York when the family went missing, Donald emerged as the prime suspect. First, there was the connection to the gun found near the car the two ex-convicts stole and may have been trailing the Martins. Like, it just seemed too coincidental that that gun turned up where this car was. The gun was part of the stolen items that Donald was accused of stealing at that department store. What are the chances that the gun is going to turn up there? Donald did not travel back to Oregon when his family disappeared. He didn't help with any of the searches, and he only returned to Oregon once in 1959 to settle the estate. When Susan and Virginia's bodies were recovered, he did not attend memorial services for them. They were cremated, and their remains were left at the Riverview Abbey Mausoleum, unclaimed for almost 10 years. They were retrieved by an unknown person in December of 1969. Donald moved to Hawaii and got married. According to his October 2004 obituary, he taught high school and is survived by a son, Donald, and three daughters and two grandchildren. Donald told Walter Graven, the lead investigator, that he couldn't think of anyone who would want to hurt his family. Reports suggest that Donald had a strained relationship with his parents. Ken and Barbara were strict, and after Donald's theft at the department store, they sent him to a Christian college, and he left the college to enlist in the Navy, something that his parents were not happy about, I guess. Both the manager of the department store and a friend and roommate of Donald reported that Donald had confessed to being under tremendous pressure. So that leaves us with questions. What happened to the Martins? Did Donald hire these ex-convicts to drive his parents and sisters off the cliff? Or did they shoot them and then push the car over the cliff to hide the evidence? Or was it an accident? The bodies of Kenneth, Barbara, and Barbie are still missing. Kenneth Martin is described as a Caucasian male, age 54. He's between 5'10" and 6' tall and weighed between 185 and 200 pounds. He had gray hair and blue eyes and wore glasses. Barbara Martin is described as a 48-year-old Caucasian female with brown hair and blue eyes. She was between 5'4" and 5'10" and weighed between 145 and 180 pounds. She went by the nicknames Barbie or BB. 14-year-old Barbie Martin is described as a Caucasian female, 5'3", 125 pounds, with blonde hair and blue eyes. That's my episode for this week. I don't know what I think happened to them. Was it an accident? Or do you think Donald was involved somehow? Do you think he hired the ex-convicts? Do you think the ex-convicts had something to do with it? I don't know. Was it an accident? You can let me know your thoughts by interacting with me on social media. You can find me on Twitter, @PodNever, and on Facebook, Never Found, Never Forgotten Pod. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks so much for listening. I'll see you next week. Bye.